Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
From the greatest competition in the galaxy, where two barons gather to cover the TARDIS in semen, we present a wheezing, groaning sound, the only Doctor Who podcast in existence. And joining me are two men never afraid to put their first mate in a vacuum. Yes, it's Mr. Bornishfield and Mr. Tom Neenan.
Hello!
So dial it down. I know we've all done that joke. As we rack our brains, keep everything on the turlo down, like you did that joke as well, and experience the best boat race in the galaxy. I'm not talking about Peter Davison's face.
Oh,
it's time we seek some enlightenment. But what was happening on telly that day?
Well, by the way, boys, I love the show.
It's Tuesday the 1st of March, 1983. We've been going in order.
Yep.
Yeah. So there may be a few sort of repeats of the frame, because, you know, it's a Tuesday. It's always a Tuesday
it's
as well.
Tuesday.
Very odd day for having Doctor Who on, but there you go.
Yes.
Okay, BBC One, 6:30, breakfast time, as per. 9 a.m. for schools and colleges,
Hooray!
Of course. Courses included. Transatlantic chess. Transatlantic chess. Wow.
Yeah.
Printing. English literature. And computers.
Oh, no. Oh, that bone dry.
Bone dry.
That selection.
Sorry, Bert. 1 p.m., Pebble Mill at 1. No write-up.
Oh, okay.
1:45, finger bobs.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Do they meet the fist again?
Do they?
Hope so.
Or the iron glove.
It'd be that baddie from Inspector Gadget, wouldn't it?
Next time.
Yeah. Really good. Maybe they meet the foot.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Like a foreign exchange student. Hey, how's the foot that come from
They're the baddies from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, aren't they? The Foot Clan.
The Foot Clan? Yeah. Or is it the foot from Monty Python that goes...
I met him on an exchange program. Say hello. Could be.
Could have been. No, I won't do it.
No. Don't go towards the junk.
Yeah.
You and Me was on, of course, 2 p.m.
Oh, Cosmo, she had an abortion in the end.
Blimey.
Last week was Terminus, Tom Brandon.
But we've completed the Cosmo trilogy.
We have now.
Yeah, girl in trouble, and she had to have abortion. It's very sad.
But
very kitchen sink.
Yeah.
Here's a very odd write-up for You and Me. It just says this verbatim.
Okay.
Roy Hudd lives in a shoe. And then finds out about a windmill.
He thought all this time I could have been living in a windmill. I've been living in a shoe.
Roy Hudd lives in a shoe and then finds out about a windmill.
Wow.
Is that before he fell up onto the roof?
I don't know.
Wow, he lives in a shoe, eh?
Yeah.
Roy Hudd lives in a shoe and
then
finds out.
Yeah.
There you go. He finds out about a windmill. He does anything about it. He just finds out about it.
Do you think that means he watched Jonathan Creek?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Is he in it?
Has he been in Roy Hudd?
No.
It could have been.
But Jonathan Creek was in a windmill.
He was in a windmill.
He was in a windmill. In one. Yeah, of course, his character's in a fucking windmill. Either that or a canal boat. He's going to be in one or the other. Songs of Praise was on later. Of course it bloody was.
Yeah.
Live from Scotland.
Sure.
That's all it says.
Who and a he and a who and a he.
God for ye and God for ye. God for ye, you pagan shit.
Lovely.
God and ye.
And a
and the family in this.
Sorry for any Scottish listeners.
I'm not.
My parents live in Scotland. Am I given a pass? I don't think I am.
You're going to get pelted with them. Swedes.
I will be, and rightly so. Yeah. Apologies, Scottish
Absolutely.
Listeners.
What do they call them? Nappies? What do they call them?
Well...
Nips
and tatties.
Tatties, thank
nips
you.
And tatties. Neeps and tatties.
Neeps
and tatties. Play School was on after.
Oh.
Five
what
to
time?
Four.
Play five school. To four. Play
five
school.
To four. Play
the guy
school.
Brian
Kant.
No, there's no need for that.
Hey!
You throw him, he'll knock him out the park.
What was the name of the dark-haired lady who is in Friends, who's in Scream?
Monica.
Courtney Cox.
Not recently, no.
I'll do one.
Go on.
Say something rude. Filthy fuck.
I'm a big fan of the lady who played Bette Lynch, Julie.
Good year.
Not bad. Looking forward to Christmas.
Yay!
Thank you very much. Jack and Ori was next.
Hey.
The Borrowers.
Oh.
The Borrowers.
Oh.
Read by Julie Covington.
Oh, the singer.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Does she sing it?
I don't know, but she's. I think she. If I remember rightly,
walking down street.
I think she's on the War of the Worlds album.
Oh,
no,
she would be. Oh, is that her?
I think so.
There must be something worth living for. No, there isn't.
There must be something worth fighting for.
Nathaniel.
You know, the person who decided who should play the dad in The Borrowers.
Yeah.
That was the first ever podcast, wasn't it?
It's a dad called Pod.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Well done, Tom. Well done. That's very good.
I don't think we can better that. I don't think that can be bettered.
No.
John Goodman.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, no, he was the man in the house.
He was.
Ian Holm was the dad.
Ian Holm.
And then when it was John Goodman, it was Jim Broadbent, wasn't it? Ian Holm was the one with. Was it with
Penelope?
Penelope Wilton.
Penelope Wilton.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Mm. Lovely Penelope.
Hopefully Penelope will.
Always find her. She likes to sit on a bench and be sad.
Yeah.
She does.
Oh, Penny Will. Lovely Penny Will.
Oh, Will.
Oh, Peter Eagy. Richard Bryos.
Brizy, Brizy.
Bry, Bry.
Howard Owen Hildos. Who else was in it?
That
was it, wasn't it?
Yeah,
yeah. That's your lot. Animal Magic's on next. Oh, Christ, we get bored of it.
Yeah.
20 to 5 Animal Magic. Johnny Morris talks to a plate of fish and chips. Terry Nutkins meets some chickens.
Right, there we go.
So he meets some fish and chips. So when he does the voice for the fish, is it dead?
I think he's like the Sixth Sense.
Yeah. I'll see fish and chips.
Tell you what, I was out drinking out last night, Johnny. Oh, yeah. I got battered.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
Can't they have a piece of cod and I've been boiled and fried alive?
Who would do such a thing?
And then potato. They go, Johnny, have you got any voices for the chips? And he go, fucking potatoes don't talk.
It's not an animal.
Johnny?
Not an animal.
It's not relevant.
I don't find these chips very appealing.
No.
Oh, nice.
Very good.
Very nice.
Very good.
I got them on Friday.
Yeah. Terry Nutkins meets some chickens. You know Johnny's going to do a voice for one of them. That.
Let me shut up, you bold prick.
Yeah. Johnny. Why are you bold? You've got a mullet. Make a choice.
Yeah. Oh, Gandalf. Like, what's his name?
Hippie Gandalf.
Yeah. He's the stand-up, Mick Miller.
Oh, Mick Miller, yeah.
Yeah, he's got the old Hulk Hogan Mick Miller.
Yeah, Hulk Hogan meets Mick Miller.
Crossover.
Yeah, yeah.
Beautiful.
Hulk Hogan bridged that literally by wearing a bandana or a headband.
Yeah.
And took the attention away.
Yes.
Very smart.
Broke it up a bit.
Yeah.
Mick Beautiful. Miller bridged that with not being very funny.
Yeah.
And Terry Nutkins did that by losing fingers.
By losing fingers every week.
Attention away.
Yeah. Until he lost his hands, his arms.
Just a head of the wasn't
feet.
He?
Yeah. Just a head and a globe.
Head with little Playmobil legs.
Two little toothpicks with blue tack legs. Yeah. Going, hello! That's what he was.
Yeah.
Anyway, then it was the news. Mm. Then it was Doctor Who Enlightenment, 5 to 7. Part one. Part there one, is a write-up for you.
Hey.
The TARDIS power is drained away just as the Doctor receives a dire warning from the White Guardian. He soon finds himself drawn into a strange race through the stars.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
Yeah, it pretty much spoils it, doesn't it?
That's a good reveal.
Mm. That's the end of the part one, isn't it? That's
the reveal. Come on.
There you go. After that, 10 to 8, Terry and June.
Mm.
Oh, this week, Mr. Mempois mustn't fart. But has had everything in the world that could make you fart. He goes round to Terry's house to, I'm going to sit in your room and not fart.
And they're like, oh, well, today we're doing yoga. Yeah. I'm going to do yoga today.
Well, I'll join in with him, Medford, as long as I don't. Blows out the window.
Oh, we've also made boiled cabbages.
Another jacket potato, Mr. Mempois. As long as he doesn't.
I'm going to place this delicate family heirloom on a rickety table near my anus.
At this time, and I like to stack cards on top of each other. And ice this cake.
Now, when I get distracted, I often make a swastika logo. logo on this cake. And my wife's father, who was in a concentration camp, is coming round for dinner.
To celebrate not being in a concentration camp. So I hope this doesn't go... Farts a swastika. That was so in June.
Yeah. He gets a little bit of chocolate sauce there.
Yeah, of course.
I'm miming the Hitler mustache.
Yeah, why is everyone looking at me funny?
Yeah.
Got chocolate sauce. Jesus. I'd watch that.
Yeah.
Bit later on at 25 past 10 was 1,000 Welsh voices from the Royal Albert Hall.
Lovely.
That sounds lovely.
Songs include Yellow Bird. Mm. Rubbish, that is. I heard Yellow Bird is shit.
Yellow Bird, shit bird, more like.
Shit bird, more like.
Come on, guys.
Any song, that was shit as well. Any song. And the Stout-Hearted Men.
Oh,
imagine that. We're the Stout-Hearted Men, we are, you know. We wander round in the wind and snow. Nowhere to really fucking go. We're the Stout-Hearted Men.
Do you reckon old Gio Compario turned up for that one?
Oh, God, yeah.
Go compare.
Yeah. There was an admin error and one of them had a stoat for a heart.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Any song. I can't hear that without thinking of the Monty Python.
Same.
You came on my pillow.
Yeah.
I get strangled.
After that was Omnibus.
Oh, yeah.
Portrait of the Dartmoor artist, Richard Long.
Oh, we love him.
Yeah, he's good fun, he is.
His brother's Martin Short.
That's the one. Arf, arf. BBC Two began at 6:05 with Open University.
Oh.
Courses included Monet, Seahorses, Rome, and Isaac Newton. I'm sorry.
Oh.
I'm so sorry, Bert. I'm so sorry.
Show me the Monet.
Yeah.
Then it closed down.
Yeah,
of course it did. Open again at 5:10 with Ayer at Eton. Sir Alfred Ayer returns to his old school and discusses how it changed his life.
Can't give a shit, mate.
Can you imagine commissioning that now?
It's just here, of course.
If you took his mum, it'd be good.
Yeah.
It was just here, of course, where I was buggered by the school prefect.
It's your school. A lot of shit in it. Africa are quite lush.
Eton is shit there.
Yeah. Eaten, they should have, in my opinion, they should have not eaten. Or died of starvation. Now I think they all look quite nice.
Oh, yeah, it's just Marmite, isn't it? Marmite.
I quite a nice time. But
she's doing a podcast now with Captain Top.
I went to Eton, you know.
What'd you do that for, you silly old cunt?
I don't want to talk to you anymore. You're not very nice. No, I'm not. To old fuckwits like you.
If he went to Eton, he must have done amazing on Blankety Blank. He must have been the best ever on Blankety Blank.
You know, he loses his shit.
Does he? Yeah. Oh, no. Absolute shit. Can't catch a break.
Yeah. I wasn't even allowed to win. She said, don't win if you win. She said, we won't get a new snooker table. So I had to lose. Thank you, Captain.
Thank you.
After Eton was Colour Rhapsody.
Oh.
And it just says this, silent treatment.
Okay.
Silent I don't know what that means.
Okay.
6:00 PM, it's time once again for the Bagthorpe saga.
Lovely.
Oh, yes, this looks fun here, because Mrs. Fosdyke causes a riot during bingo, and Zero becomes a super dog.
Oh, this sounds a lot of fun.
Sounds brilliant.
Zero becomes a super dog.
Do you know what? Bring back Beef Pippi, say I.
Yeah.
Bring
back Beef Pippi.
Love Beef Pippi. Then it was the Waltons.
Oh, fuck off.
The Waltons help a terrified wife. Maybe she's terrified of them.
Yeah.
Who knows? After that, 20 to 9, 100 great sporting moments.
Oh, that's fun.
This week, the Cricket Cup Final 1975.
Oh, my God. Oh, I thought it was going to be like one of those magazine that you have to just watch one of them.
No, it's just one of them. That means there's going to be 100 shows.
Yeah.
Oh,
and it's just repeats. It's just stuff they've already got the rights to.
Absolute shit.
Peddle it out.
9 PM, sorry, John, but it's Russell Hartree.
Russian. I'm not offended by him. No. I just didn't think he was very good.
But listen, this is a bit of a write-up.
Go on.
The sultry Eartha Kitt
meets
our host. She wants to be evil. Expect fireworks.
Oh. I want to be evil.
What was bad about his show is that he had him in the middle and the guests either side.
Yes, I know. And never worked.
That's not going
to happen. Well, famously, he had to turn his back on one of them. So
she wants to be evil, so she's going to be, I poisoned you.
He had to turn his back on WG Grace.
Yeah.
Well,
that's not good, is it?
No.
And then she lets off fireworks, it says. Expect fireworks.
Expect fireworks.
That's how evil she was. She lets off indoor fireworks.
Yeah, that's how evil she is.
You light it as a pill and it just goes...
She's evil, so it's fucking rockets the lot.
Yeah.
Get off my show!
It lets out gas, it's full of AIDS.
Yeah. Terrible. Oh, Jonathan.
He died, didn't he, quite soon after this, Russell Hart?
What, after talking to Eartha Kitt?
Also, when I think of Russell Hart, I always think of The Young Ones, the sick episode.
Right.
Where Vivian has to run in and put a black bag over Neil, who keeps sneezing.
Oh, yeah.
And as he runs and he shouts, Russell Harty!
Ah.
Mm. Why?
As a form of expletive.
Expletive.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of the... I love The Young Ones. Mm. A lot of it I don't get.
Yeah.
Same. Yeah, absolutely same. 9:30 was Arena. Arena presents Talking Heads with David Byrne.
Oh, fun. Oh,
lovely stuff.
God,
lovely
it's so stuff. Strange to think...
A hour and a half, that was. Nice.
You know, when you hear about things like, the Aztecs existed alongside, you know, and it sort of skews your idea of history.
Mm. Yes.
You know that Talking Heads with David Byrne existed at the same time as Enlightenment is quite a strange one.
Odd, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
And weird that he wasn't in it.
But David Byrne.
David Byrne would have been a great doctor.
He was almost...
Gosh, him in that big wobbly suit.
Oh, imagine if it was the Garm suit, but just David Byrne's head. I'd love that. Obviously, please, can you make that, Nick? Please, yeah.
Psychosilla.
Let's go say. Woof, woof, woof. Good. Lovely. Newsnight was on after Arena at 11 p.m. Mm. There's a nice bit of typo here because it just says political afterphysis with Jon Snow. Nice. I think they mean analysis.
Analysis, but afterphysis.
Political afterphysis. And here to go for the afterphysis with me today is Mr. Beef Pippi. Then it was
Stanley
Open University.
Did that one, of course.
Sorry?
Mm. Stanley Unwin.
Stanley Unwin.
Political afterphysis.
Political afterphysis. Rude Ryan and Stu Dubai. Then it was Open University AM.
Oh,
they've now decided to call it 10
late
to 12.
Night.
Mm-hmm. Late night. Mm. Courses included thermodynamics, France, binary systems, and theories closed down.
Oh.
And that was your television delay. So BBC 1, BBC 2.
But why?
Why? How are you doing any of that? Well, you'd want to rush to read the end of the Black Guardian trilogy.
Mm, yes, of course.
Particularly as in a minute, we're going to meet someone else.
Oh, yeah.
Because we begin with Turlough and Tegan playing chess. Now, isn't this trilogy a game of chess, Tom?
In many ways, isn't it? Isn't it?
The black and the white up against each other, ebony and ivory, if only they could all get on.
There's no grey area in chess, is there?
No.
It's a bit like if the king sent a pawn to kill the queen and then it didn't work loads of times.
Or if the queen met a knight near a castle.
But the doctor keeps hearing a voice that says, move,
move, move.
Power.
Here.
So the doctor says, right, turn everything up to full.
Mm. Yeah.
All the power we have to full. And the console starts smoking.
Whoa.
And then we hear death.
That's Michael Grade.
And the Black Guardian shows up.
Blimey.
And he says, Doctor, I control the game. And I control your destiny. Soon you will be dead.
He's given up now, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's given up doing it the subtle way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is the Orange Round All episode.
Yes.
The whole thing. Beautiful.
Yeah. The doctor goes through a door and there's just like a bucket. A bucket of water above the door. He's like, is that what you meant?
You're now wet.
You're it. Is that all this was?
Oh, a chalk penis on the back of my coat's white. So no one
stuck his celery up his bum. Now you will smell my bottom under your nose.
But Turlough gets in trouble.
Oh, he does.
He turns the console off.
He does.
And the doctor's, how dare you?
Yeah, whoa, come
never,
on.
Never, ever disobey my instructions, he
disobey.
Says. Mm. Turlough's like, sorry about that.
I can imagine.
So then they then show up somewhere. The TARDIS materialises.
No materialisation shown. Boo.
And he says to the doctor, sorry, he doesn't say to the doctor, he says to Tegan, you stay here, just in case the White Guardian shows up again, because he's let's be honest, he's making no fucking sense whatsoever.
Yeah.
So in case he shows up again, I'm going to take Turlough with me. Turlough's like, why me?
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, well, I don't trust you.
Yeah.
Finally.
As you said.
Finally.
Mm. And they walk out of the TARDIS, and they're in like a hold.
Brilliant.
Mm.
Or another dark room for fans of dark rooms. Black Guardian trilogy is full of them.
Yeah.
And he's creaking.
If someone says to you, I want to watch Doctor Who episodes, it's full of dark rooms.
Yeah.
Black Guardian trilogy.
Yeah. Sold.
We're creaking.
Mm-hmm. We're creaking. And we're a rocking.
Don't come a knocking. Something's amiss, he says.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then Tegan picks up all the chess pieces.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And a pair of... This bit, I think if I'd have watched this as a 5 or 6 year old yeah. son, I would have shit my ass.
What, when the
two hands
like,
appearing yeah. on the screen and then the face just looking at
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
It's horrible.
It's yeah. also... It's never quite clear to me where the scanner camera is.
Yeah. No, no,
for him to be looking at, because sometimes is it the lamp? Is it the I don't know what.
Someone know exactly where it is.
Yeah, yeah.
On the window.
Yeah,
is it just in the side of the door.
Yeah, yeah.
He
yeah.
looks a bit like Mark Commode at first, but
yes.
And then the White Guardian wants more energy, and then he says, "Tell the doctor, winner takes it all." He's my favourite Jimmy Tarbuck game show.
Followed by Bob's Full House.
So then the console literally explodes.
Yep.
It does. Kaboom.
And then the Mark Commode person looking in looks through the window, smiles.
Mariner.
And then, yeah, Mariner, who we'll get to. Mm. He then just descends.
Yeah.
So the Doctor and Turlough join in with some sailors.
They all bunk up with the boys in the Navy. Mm-hmm.
The Doctor goes, well, we're going to have to stay here and find out why we've been sent here. And we meet Roy Evans from EastEnders.
Yay! Old Pat.
Poor old Roy.
Beau.
Fats. Yeah. Fats. Pats. Did she cuckold Roy with
she
Frank?
She did with Frank.
Yes, yeah.
Because
did,
Roy
yeah.
couldn't get it up.
That's yeah.
right. That's right.
That's basically why.
Yeah.
Pat wasn't being satisfied.
Yeah.
And she needs a lot of satisfaction.
She needs a lot. Leave it, Frank.
I demand satisfaction, Frank.
Leave it, Frank. I'll do it myself.
Oh, Pat. What are you doing to me, Pat?
Is that when he turned up naked, but with a bow tie?
Well, then that started. I know we're talking about EastEnders.
Yeah.
But then he started a love triangle with Peggy, didn't he? Because he was having yeah. off with Peggy.
Oh,
as well.
Yeah.
That's why they called her she called her a fat cow.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
True.
Yeah. Anyway, so he says that they've been waiting. We've been waiting for you,
because mm-hmm.
he thinks he's the doctor of the ship.
Oh, yes. Mm. Yeah, yeah.
All the lads have been below deck for ages. In mm-hmm. fact, I can't even remember now. I can't think of it, Doc.
I can't even remember coming aboard.
A bit weird.
What about the rest of the men? Oh, yeah. Well, just seem to have appeared here.
I like these lads. I think they're good.
They're fun.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially Roy Evans.
Roy Evans is brilliant.
Yeah.
There's a nice bit where the doctor goes, oh, God, they think I'm the doctor. And he's like, well, you are the doctor. He said, no, they think I'm the hairdresser as well. And the Charlie goes, aha.
They think he's the cook.
The cook.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Brilliant.
Show is your cook, they say.
Yeah.
Oh, you think I'm that kind of doctor? Mm-hmm. So Tegan is then sort of sneaking around in the dark,
having a snoop.
And then she sees someone's looking for her.
Yeah.
And then ominously looking down at her is the terrifying Mariner.
What a performance.
So good.
Oh my goodness.
Man.
It's so like sexually charged and yet restrained.
He's a beautiful looking man.
It feels like they've said to him, play it like you're a sort of malfunctioning android.
Yeah.
Like a kind of Ian Holm and Alien type.
I genuinely thought for a moment he's going to be a robot.
His face
is going to fall off or something.
Yeah.
He just plays it very straight.
Mm.
And he's just got that crisp, like, avian? sort of Aryan blonde.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he keeps
Mariner.
Talking about how fascinated he is
by
Tegan's thoughts.
I'm fascinated by you.
Mm.
Yeah.
He doesn't blink.
No.
It's just such a good little performance.
Yeah.
So this is, I think, the first ever classic Doctor Who to be written and directed by a woman.
It is.
Think you can tell by the way that his character, because there's like this odd sexuality, and like I think it's one of the few stories to explore like Tegan as a sort of vaguely sexual being
slightly sexualised, which has never happened.
No, yeah. But it's all done in a very kind of tasteful and quite very nice
way. I like the tone of it all so far, because it's like, what's going on? It's a lovely mystery.
Yeah.
And I like how stripped down it is at this point.
But he says to her, I can help you find your two friends.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
She's like, well, how did you know I've got two friends?
Yes.
You went, oh, I meant my balls.
I meant your knockers.
Yeah.
And my balls.
Yeah, yeah.
So the sailors have no idea how they got there yet, but the doctor is sent for someone comes in and says, Doctor, the captain would like to see
him.
And the sailors are like, oh, he's for it now.
Yeah.
We never get to see the captain. We get to stay down here playing cards, drinking rum, smoking pipes,
and
experimenting with our sexuality. So the doctor goes to see him, and it's Keith Barron.
Yay!
Captain Stryker.
He's great in this as well.
He's so good.
No apparently, him and Mariner do not blink.
Oh, that's, I love
must
that.
Must be what it is.
They're playing it so they don't ever blink. So
they're caning it. They're Michael caning it.
Michael caning it.
He was another non-blinker.
Non-blinker.
Yeah.
See, what they do now is they'd CGI that.
Yeah.
They get something to CGI. Right. but then they had to actually do it. They had to actually not blink.
They'd probably use AI, wouldn't they?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
AI.
They go, hey, your AI. Eye just blinked.
I'm trying to make that happen, by the way.
Yeah, oh, good.
Yeah, I'm annoying many people with it.
It's a really long story.
It's a real.
After.
Okay.
It's just, hey, guy.
Hey,
so, this, so yeah, the doctor sent for the captain. They then find out they then have dinner with him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
oh, we'd love you if you love it if you joined us for dinner.
Yes. Mm.
And then they find Turlough. They join the captain on the bridge, and they discover in the reveal. They were at this point. We're thinking we're on an old ship in the middle of the sea.
Mm-hmm.
The captain pulls back a sort of console.
Yes,
electronics.
And Tegan going, this shouldn't be on this kind of vessel.
Yeah.
What's going on, Doc? What? Not
this
fucking
isn't
Ripper.
Fucking Ripper.
I've seen your dinkums. And then he opens the screen and suddenly we're greeted with the image of lots of old boats and ships.
Sloops and...
Yeah. Sailing in space.
Sailing
what's
in
happening?
Space?
Cliffhanger.
It's a good cliffhanger.
Yeah. Really good cliffhanger.
Great cliffhanger. It's a bit obvious, but still fun.
Yeah.
But then we cut back on episode two.
Mm-hmm.
Tegan then says, you know what, Doc? I'm not feeling too crouchy now. I'm feeling a bit seasick.
Mm.
She wouldn't be feeling seasick.
You're in
space. Because you're in space.
You bitch. Doc! Sorry. So Mariner takes her to her quarters.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get this, like you were saying earlier, with a woman directing this,
you get
the real ominous man here, because he's like, I've made you a drink.
Drink this.
Drink this mixture. But it's with a smile.
It'll make you feel better. Also, all the way through it, they've just been like, welcome on board. Feel free to go anywhere you like.
Yeah. Our guests.
Everyone is wonderfully happy.
Mm-hmm.
And he says to her, she says, I'm not drinking that. And he goes, it's fine. And he drinks some.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then she drinks it. And then he goes to sleep.
Then he shits himself.
He's like, oh dear, I shit up my spine.
Yeah, the captain says, you're our guests. Mm-hmm. You're free to come and please as you wish.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But he says, I intend to win this race.
Mm.
What race? Well, what it race? Turns out all these ships are racing for a prize we don't know about yet.
Yeah.
Is it going to be a little trophy? A medal? Is it going to be a magnum of champagne? Well, we'll find out.
Well, isn't it like in House of Games, and it's like a dartboard, some luggage,
a Doctor Who bum bag.
Yeah.
Time with Richard Osman.
Yeah. A Turlough foam tits hat.
Richard Osman would have been a good Guam, whatever he's called.
Guam. He's very tall, yeah. Such a tall man, definitely.
Yeah. They're the guests. Mm-hmm. And then Turlough goes to find Tegan because he's worried about her.
Yeah.
She's asleep in bed. And then she wakes up and says, you know what? I feel marvellous.
Ooh.
Yeah. So the captain tells the doctor he's doing the race as a diversion.
Mm-hmm.
The crew are ephemerals?
Ephemerals.
Thank you. Sorry, I couldn't read my writing.
That's all right. You read your own typing.
And he also has been reading the doctor's thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
He says, You're a time lord?
Yeah, I like it how they're discovering it as their. Oh, you're a time lord, are you?
Yeah. So well done.
So the captain is, it turns out, he's an eternal, but lives in the endless wastes of eternity.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Keith Barron's good in this.
He's great in it.
He's not given a lot to do. But he's quite disconcerting all the way through it.
They all are. That's
not
the thing.
His usual Keith Barron-ness.
No. He's not Keith Barron inexplicably trapped in the Costa del Sol acting.
He's having an affair with Roy Evans in front of Mariner. It's called Booty Free.
Hey!
I like that. So Roy from EastEnders tells Turlough he's seeing some. I'll tell you what. Since I started refusing the grog, because I'm coming off the grog,
yep.
I want to be sober, I've been seeing some weird things.
Yeah.
I've seen spaceships on fire off the shoulder of Orion. And all this will be lost in time, like tears in the rain.
Yeah.
I think.
I'm not sure. Then, I saw Patton and knickers.
Frank Butcher's knob.
Spinning.
I've seen David.
Things.
What's Pat's son called?
Wicks.
I've seen David Wicks as the crime traveller.
I've seen Lofty.
Patriot Games. So then on the bridge, the doctor and everybody, they see one of the ships explode. Sabotage.
Isn't it like a Roman galleon or something?
Yeah. Greek.
That's it. Yeah.
Because he says to him, well, why is that Greek? Because we get a good look. The Greek fella's wearing a little ring.
A
red jewel on it.
Yeah.
What's that mean?
What's that mean? We don't know.
We just don't know.
Will we find out?
Yeah.
Yeah, we will. So the ship explodes and they're all like, well, that's not...
Weird.
That wouldn't explode. That's an old wooden boat. There's nothing on there that will make it explode. There must be sabotage.
Mm-hmm.
Sabotage. So then it turns out the Eternals rely on the...
Ephemerals.
For their thoughts and ideas.
Yeah,
and the doctor
goes,
you're nothing but a parasite.
Yeah. Turns out the Ephemerals are just... us men.
Sorry, I can't say ephemerals.
Yeah, just did it.
Just did then.
Yeah.
Didn't matter then, did it? Yeah, they're parasites. So then Turlo tries to get help from the Black Guardian. He says, come on, tell me what to do. I am displeased with your lack of efforts. I'm going to strangle you.
Strangle you, mm. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Sure.
And he knocks him out.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the doctor finds him and says, oh, I must have fallen. Help me, doctor, I've fallen.
Oh. Yes, why have you got a hand mark on you?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's like, shut up.
And then they go back to the TARDIS, but it's gone.
It's gone.
The Eternals have made it vanish.
It's crass.
They basically go, you know what, this is all a bit fucked, let's just get out of here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Getting bad vibes from everyone here.
Yeah.
So the captain says, I read your thoughts about the TARDIS, and we have put it somewhere.
Somewhere safe.
Mm-hmm.
Clever where they put it, actually. Right up his arse!
He just suddenly, where could it be? Oh!
Oh, there it is.
Goes cross-eyed. Hey, boy. I think I found it.
Oh, right in the zero room. Yeah.
The zero room's broken at the moment, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Well, it's been like jettisoned completely.
It's been jettisoned.
Because they couldn't use it for Rod Hull.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jettisoned the TARDIS! It's my favourite room in there.
So shit.
So Teak, well, basically, all the sailors, all Roy's mates, they're all going topside.
Mm-hmm.
But why? When they're going topside, they're wearing spacesuits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they go up there, and I think it's the same set from Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Looks like it.
Where he turns into a penguin.
Yeah.
So
well, where
there.
Peter Davison is a pig.
He's a pig.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah, lovely.
Because his wife was in it.
Yeah.
Because Teak goes, why are they going up there? There's no wind or anything.
Yeah.
And Charlie goes, well, there's solar wind, you see.
Yeah.
He goes, listen, can you hear it? She goes, what? He goes, so Teak, Mariner takes a top side to have a look.
Yeah.
And we find out that the prize for the winner, Keith Barron says, is enlightenment.
Enlightenment.
The wind wisdom of all things. And he comes in and he goes, oh, hello, Mr. Grimsdale. Oh, no.
Oh, God.
The Doctor and Turlo also go topside.
Yeah.
And Turlo, the Black Guardian, turns up and says, you have failed me. You will have to live here in perpetual torment.
Yes.
Right. And then Turlo goes, oh, fuck this, and jumps off the side.
Love
jumps
it.
Overboard.
Is that where he goes, you will now feel my wrath.
You will now feel my wrath.
Love it.
Apparently, Turlo really hurt himself here, didn't he?
Did he?
The cable that was holding up snapped.
Oh, shit.
On his bottom.
Oh, God. Bam. Oh, did the crystal
time off?
Did he land on the crystal?
No.
Fell on me keys.
Fell on the TARDIS.
Yeah.
Fell on his keys to time.
Oh.
Jeez.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So yeah, he floats off.
Mm.
And then, no, the Doctor goes,
Madame
no! And that's the cliffhanger for episode Episode 3, turns out he's fine.
He's fine.
Yay.
He floats onto the Buccaneer.
Oh, the Buccaneer.
Oh, now things get a bit cool, don't they? Yeah.
Baron Crazy.
Yeah.
It's Baron Knights.
Yeah.
The band Baron Knights come up.
Yeah.
We meet Eternal Captain Rack, played by Linda Baron.
Second appearance in Who. Number two. Yep.
And so we are floating in the ethereal space. You might recognize him and also my friend.
We're all embarking on some kind of race. Enlightenment.
And the half chance to lose.
Space.
Episode of Will and Grace.
Oh, nice.
Do you think when she was being named, the character,
Rack.
They went, what should we call this character? And someone went, Rack.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
tits. Yeah. You can't call her tits.
Nurse Gladys Emmanuel, she should have been.
Yeah.
She should have been Space Nurse Gladys Emmanuel. Yeah.
Space Nurse Gladys Emmanuel.
Yeah.
With David Jason.
She is so good in this.
She's great in this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Listen to Patreon if you want to know about that story.
Yeah, no, she is.
She is wonderful in this. Yeah. She's having a good old laugh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Lee John.
Yeah, now, he was a last-minute casting, wasn't he?
Was he?
Oh, was he?
Apparently. No. Apparently, they had someone else in mind, but they used him. Wasn't he a pop star?
He was a pop star.
Mm. He's in Culture Club, isn't he?
Yeah, I think so.
Mm. And he is him.
If you've ever seen the 1980s house, the parody of the 1900s house from Adam and Joe.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Lee John is the guy who advises how to make a house more like the 1980s.
Of
he, like,
course.
Fills it with cocaine, and they've got, like, a Sinclair C5 and stuff.
Oh, that's very good.
Yeah.
I didn't put two and two together. So then she says, well, we welcome aboard.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have a party.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're going to invite all the other ships aboard.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So Keith Barron gets an invitation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He says, no, I don't think we'll be going, no.
Just click maybe and then, like, don't go. That's what you usually do. Yeah.
So the Doctor and Tegan are like, well, we're going to go. We need to go and rescue our friend.
Mm.
Mm. Mariner says, well, I'll take them, sir.
Mm.
I don't mind going at all. So Linda Barron wants information from Turlough. He tells her he thinks her ship has the best chance of winning because it's the best one.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
And then another ship gets blown up.
Another one. So we don't know how.
We don't know how.
By the way, this reception party she holds, the incidental music is beautiful.
It's lovely.
It
looks lovely, sumptuous and fun.
Oh,
the music in this episode generally is quite good.
Yeah.
It looks like they've genuinely raided the BBC canteen and went, can we have everything that you would serve for like 10 minutes in a shot?
Yes. But like since like Terminus was quite stark, yes, deliberately exactly. So, but now this is like made up for it by being so sumptuous and
very
so...
Very sumptuous.
Yes. Brilliant.
Yep. So the Doctor and Tegan go on the Buccaneer and they meet old titties.
Yeah.
Old titties. Racks.
How much does it cost to get your ears pierced on that ship?
Don't know.
Buccaneer.
Oh,
very good. You can see why he worked in Cotter. Well,
that works.
Turlough, meanwhile, he's having a bit of a snooping around on the ship, and he finds...
Oh, this is a bit silly. Go on.
Finds a room.
Mm.
But the Black Guardian appears and says, oh, we'll die now.
It's really getting boring now, isn't it?
At this point, he's like your uncle that's come round the holiday for 4 days. It's the 58th time he stopped you in the corridor to put 50p in your hand. It's something nice.
The vacuum seal's been turned off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's stuck in this room with a hole.
Problem is he walks over the hole. Because it's superimposed on the thing, it just looks fucking stupid.
There's
a big sign saying vacuum.
Mm. Speaking of which,
vacuum seal off.
We didn't talk about it in Terminus. The plug they use, I really hate that. That horrible plug. You know when they have that like that foam that expands?
Mm.
And it looks really ugly and looks like,
Oh, yeah.
Space Raiders do it.
Yeah. I thought it looked really horrible. Yeah. Anyway, that just popped into my mind because it's all about vacuums.
Yeah.
We love vacuums in the Black Guardian trilogy.
But this vacuum thing like takes so long to do anything. And so just tell her just for 20 minutes going, help!
Yeah.
Help!
So meanwhile, Rack says to Tegan, you're interesting. Let's go and have a chat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Let's go and have a chat. And she hypnotises her.
Love it. Absolutely love it.
And tiny moment, but I love it. Doctor changes his salary.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, it's good. It's a good bit of business because he's talking at the same time.
Yeah, he's having a chat and he just goes, oh, I'll just replace my salary.
Yeah.
Isn't that nice? Bit of business.
Nice.
I forget he wears celery.
Yeah.
You can buy like,
do you not? Stupid. Just fucking see it all the time.
Really? Is it all you can see?
First thing you always think is, why is he wearing celery?
Yeah.
Anyway, it's a lovely little moment. You don't like it.
I was thinking of a Jervis Fritzl joke, but I'm not going
to. No, don't do it.
I don't know even where that would. Celery. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Door. Yeah, she's a bit celery.
Bit celery at the moment. Stinks in here.
I don't like the celery. No.
Do you not?
Oh, okay.
No. It don't bother me.
Mm. But then, do I like it more?
You don't like
Collins
his look in general, though, do you?
Mm.
I don't like the look.
I really love it.
I don't mind the jacket and the shirt, but the trousers make me feel ill.
Did you see on Twitter where someone talking about Colin Baker and then Big Finish tweeted pussy on lapel as a little joke about the pussy in bio? quite...
Oh, I hate it when Big Finish join in.
Double take on
join
that.
In Big was... Finish, and yeah. It's not for you. Being current.
So the Doctor saves Turlough, long story short.
Yeah, well, he just comes in and turns it off.
Turns it off. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the Doctor is then seized by Rack's men.
Yeah.
And then he says, she says, down the camera, that all that awaits is his ultimate destruction.
And then she do a real evil laugh.
Yeah.
So then, cliffhanger, next episode, Rack unhypnotises Tegan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They go back to the party.
Mm-hmm. Tegan doesn't know, though. She's now got a little extra gem in her tiara.
Mm.
The same gem that we might have saw early on the Greek ship in the pommel of a sword.
Oh, hello.
Pommel.
Pommel.
I liked that.
Yeah,
thank
pommel.
You.
Pommel.
Every day's a school day.
Mm-hmm.
So Mariner now, basically, we're getting to the crux of what's going on.
Yeah.
I think he's a bit in love with Tegan.
Yeah. Is he in love or is he just fascinated?
Well, he does ask, what is love? So we know he's definitely not an android.
Yeah.
And he goes, what is love?
What is love?
I want existence, he says.
Mm-hmm.
He's fascinated by her thoughts.
I think he's fascinated by her mortality.
And her titties. God. It's a horny old trilogy.
This is written by a lady.
Yeah, so it's not our fault.
Turlough and the Doctor are brought to Rack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Turlough says that the Doctor is a spy, and I reckon we should all get sent back to Stryker.
Mm.
They should get sent back to Stryker and I'll stay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And he says to Rack, he stayed because he's sure she's going to win. I want to be on the winning ship.
Yeah.
She says, well... Let's show you people getting walked to the plank.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
See what I do to people who get on my nerves.
So then Rack says to Turlough, you know what? You're a spy.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
And he tells her he knows she is also being commanded by the Black Guardian.
Yeah. I don't know. How does he work that out? No, he does what he does. Yeah. Yeah.
So okay. The Doctor spots that the Buccaneer has gone level alongside them.
Yes.
And is going to go for the kill.
He's going to go for the kill with a vacuum thing.
And he says, Tegan, there's something missing here. Did you bring anything onto this ship that you didn't have before? And she says, oh, I've got a fucking jar of Vegemite, mate. I'm
the chicken.
Yeah.
She says, were you given any kind of jewel?
I love it. It's like that in that Australian, like, what do you bring into the country? And it's always people who brought in just like loads of vegetables. And they're like, I don't know how they got in there.
But it's always someone who's bought like 58 terrapins.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know how I got
that.
So then he says, it's something that will become a focal point for the weapon. And she goes, oh, wait a minute, my tiara, mate. And he throws the tiara overboard.
Yeah.
Kaboom.
Bang. Kaboom.
The Mariner is impressed, but the Doctor shames him again by pointing out that the internals depend on thoughts to exist.
Yeah, it's like parasites, they consume human thought.
So then,
it's all about they don't give a shit about the ephemerals, and he's trying to say, but they're humans.
Mm-hmm.
So it turns out all these people have been plucked out of time to power
all
the ships.
All these sailors have been plucked out of time to do a job. Mm. But then the Doctor goes, hang on, listen, there's no more wind.
Yeah.
That's a good joke. Yeah. Hang on, where am I? Oh, yeah.
Mm.
And the Buccaneer gets ahead of them.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
So he doesn't want to see the Rack win. So the Eternals return the TARDIS to the Doctor. He says, look, best chance is if I use the TARDIS and go on the Buccaneer and fuck them up.
Yeah.
And they go, all right, go and get the TARDIS.
So where'd you put it? They go, in your mind, of course.
Yeah. Brilliant.
Mm-hmm. That's a really lovely idea.
Mm.
You can read your thoughts. So that means, is it in his brain? Ah, fuck! Like a tumor.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Jesus.
He has to take it out of his nose like in Total Recall.
Yeah.
So, he goes on the Rack ship and gets captured immediately.
Yeah, of course he does.
And the first mate suggests that the Doctor has to be thrown overboard.
Of course.
So, meanwhile, Keith Barron's looking on and they watch... As two computer bodies are thrown out. And she's like, well, that's it then. The Doctor's fucking dead, mate. Yeah, really
that has to be
sad.
It. That has to be it.
So then the Guardians appear.
Mm-hmm. Of course they do.
I demand the captain so she can receive my prize.
Mm.
So then the Doctor turns up and goes, yeah, sorry about that. The captain, Rack, and the first mate... A little bit of an accident.
Accidental.
Unbelievable.
Fuck, you're the fucking mafia.
It would be awful if something were to happen to you.
Are you saying you just murdered two people?
Yeah.
I think the Doctor has just murdered two people.
But it's Rag Eternal, so is it even worse? Is it like she'll now be floating around in the emptiness of space forever?
They've been nothing but quite nice to them.
Yeah.
She lands outside Arkwright's shop. Yeah. The funny old baby.
Captain Rack landed on the jeans.
Granville spoke to the planet that died.
Plank.
So the doctor's like, well, get out of that one.
Yeah.
Chess man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, chess mate.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Chess mate. So the doctor then refuses the prize. He says, I don't want the prize.
Don't want enlightenment.
Yeah. But as Turlough helped the doctor, he's entitled to it.
Mm-hmm.
So the Eternals are sent away. Mariner's like, well, can I stay? Because I really want to hang around with Tegan all the time. No, you're not allowed.
No, you're not allowed.
And he disappears.
Yeah.
So the Black Guardian says to Turlough, remember our bargain.
Mm.
You kill the Doctor, the TARDIS is yours.
And he's like, oh, fuck off, Grandad.
So Turlough throws the prize at him.
He does.
I love
fire.
That.
And he goes, ah!
Yeah.
He's on fire.
I love that.
That's good.
It's good acting as well.
What the prize was? A fire.
A fire. Well, a big fireball.
No, because, because.
Yeah, what?
The Doctor points out, enlightenment's not the diamond.
Mm.
No. Enlightenment was the choice.
No.
And if I was Keith Barron, I'd go, we did all that.
All that shit for that.
I haven't blinked for 4 days.
Yeah. I haven't had a shit in 4 years.
I was going to either get like an Esso token prize from a garage.
Yeah.
Or do you realise I haven't changed my pants in 7 years?
It's been humping my leg for 4 weeks. So the White Guardian says, well, the Black Guardian will be back one day. Then he vanishes.
Mm-hmm.
Then Taylor goes, you know what? I think I'd like to go home to my planet now. And we're all going, what planet?
What's happening here?
The doctor really is right to go, no, you're going straight to fucking the brig on my TARDIS, you interfering little shit.
But the doctor goes, why not?
All right.
But then the next episode is the King's Demons.
Yep.
Make it make sense.
He doesn't go until Planet of Fire. They're not on the Sun until the Planet of Fire.
Yes.
That's right.
You have to meet Peter Wingard to sort all that out.
Yeah, yeah.
Jeez.
So the next episode, we're going to, after all this, after this shit sandwich we've been given, we're going to have to meet Chameleon.
That'll be fun.
Oh, my God.
Anyway. Hang on, let me just double check that. So, yeah, it's Enlightenment, then it's King Demons, then the Five Doctors, which is fun.
Yeah.
Then Warriors of the Deep.
Yeah. Okay.
The Awakening Frontiers, Resurrection of the Dark, then Planet of Fire. So they take a long old, you know, a lot of time to get back to.
Bearing in mind, we haven't really been explained who he is.
No.
No. We don't really know, like, is it, why didn't the White Guardian, like, turn up as well? And
it
go,
doesn't make any sense.
It sort of doesn't, but there you go.
But
what are we going to score it out of? Oh, hang on. 100.
Racks?
100 Linda Baron Racks.
100 Linda Baron Racks.
Right,
Mr.
Well,
John Rain.
I enjoyed this, but I have to say, when I boasted to you two that I'd got my homework in early and watched the first two stories very early, and you both said to me, well, you'll love Enlightenment.
Yeah.
I didn't like it as much as
Audrey. Oh, okay.
I liked it.
Yeah.
I liked the idea.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it was frustrating at times.
Right. Right.
The Black Guardian, I think, doesn't work. Right, as a thing. But I did enjoy it.
Mm.
So I'm going to give it 60 Linda Baron Racks.
Lovely.
60.
Hold it short.
It is my favourite of the three.
Yeah.
It's less muddy than the first lot. Mm. And I just kind of love it. Arr, in space. Mm. That's brilliant. It just gets in the last episode.
Yeah, it does.
Because they just don't quite know what to do effectively with the Black Guardian. So they just bring, let's bring in a White Guardian, of course. And then, you're just chess pieces in our eternal struggle.
Even a Blue Guardian, who came and looked at the racked tits and went, whoa!
Just made of dicks.
Yeah.
Anyway, so quite frankly, but I really like the tone of it. The friendly Eternals, are they the Eternals? I always forget who's who.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
The friendly Eternals just wanting to live off memories. And
well, he's the VIP of this episode.
Yeah. And Mariner, what a beautiful little thing. And I kind of, it's just nice being on a ship. Something lovely about it.
Yeah.
I love it apart from the last episode where it just folds in on itself and doesn't know what to do.
Mm.
But I prefer that one folding in on itself, knowing not what to do, than in the first one we did where the brig meets and the very thing that's wrong is the very thing that's right. Mm. It just annoys me. So I'm going to give it 75 of Linda Baron's 75. Racks.
Tom.
A question I think that a lot of Doctor Who fans have is like, if you were introducing and someone who'd never seen Doctor Who before, you had like one chance here, show me one story. And I think we always like get worried, like, oh, I want to show you something, but then there's always bits that maybe are a bit embarrassing or whatever. I think the sets in this are brilliant.
Yeah.
I think the writing, I think the direction as well is really good.
Yeah.
I think it looks sumptuous, and there's not as many like, oh, ignore that, you know, sort of thing that you have with a lot of those. And I think it actually really stands up as a sort of handsome piece of television. And it's fun, and I think there's a, I like the Eternals. The Eternals are one of those ideas that, while they don't turn up a lot in Doctor Who since, they are mentioned a lot as just like these, you know, the these eternal beings. I think it's David Tennant says the Eternals called it the Howling, about the void.
Right. Every sci-fi has its version, doesn't it? In Star Trek, it's Q.
Q, yeah, yeah.
There's Barnum always that group. Version.
And so I really like it for that, and I think it's very handsome, and I think it also has a bit of fun. So I am going to give it 87.
Wow.
87.
So how many Nurse Baron racks do we get?
222. It's 222.
Oh, that's lovely.
Oh, that seems
I'm glad it's evens as well, because it is a rack.
Yeah.
It'd be weird if it's an odd number.
Yeah, yeah.
Your microphone's just gone all floppy.
Oh, no. Yeah, right at the last minute.
It happens to men of our age.
I know. I don't like
you,
it.
Can you hold up your mic and read the comment?
That's what I'm trying to work out. Oh, God. I'm going to have to hold it in one hand.
Oh.
As the actress said to the...
Linda Baron.
Bobby Peru.
Yeah.
The one in which Nurse Gladys is trying to coax an erection out of Turlo. The bloke from Duty Free pretends he's in the Onedin line. And Pat Butcher's husband tries out his best Bob Hoskins impersonation. Oh, and Lee John acting makes Adric look like Prime De Niro. Five silly bird hats out of 100.
I like Lee John. He gives a man of performance, but I think he's fun. He's like weird.
Yeah.
He's got a very gentle voice.
Yes.
Yeah. Tim Commons says, Granville, fetch your gods. Nurse Gladys is a hugely impressive rah-rah rack. Oh, I see. Rubber rack. suffers. Oh, are we doing. Oh, fuck that right up, haven't I? Supposed to be doing Arkwright. Granville, fetch your gods. Nurse Gladys is a hugely impressive rack. Oh, suffers from don't go outside. We're surrounded by film. But great ideas, and Black Guardian hot hugs himself to death. 70 out of 100. White Guardian's looking like he's been shitted out of a dove. I'm sorry, it was Nurse Gladys Emmanuel Rack. Polarizing reviews. After his time in the TARDIS was over, Turlo went back to his original pastime of hanging out around girls' schools with his knob out. Is it me, or is Colour Horizon getting filthier and
filthier and
filthier? Is everything all right at home? Andrew F. says, I really like this one. Best story of season 20 by a mile. The Eternals and their space race is a good idea, and there's a fair bit of fun scenery chewing to enjoy from the guest stars, though it's a shame the Black Guardian doesn't get more to do. Oh, God. Ben Thomas. In Lyman, Jennifer is struggling with her low-cut dress during the filming of the story. During one scene, she unwittingly suffered a wardrobe malfunction that led to Peter Davidson to ad-lib, oh, and Tegan, put your boobs back in. Things would go more seriously tits up during the scene where Turlo throws himself off the boat. The Kirby wire attached to Mark Strickson snapped. The actor landed heavily on his backside.
Oof.
And he suffered such serious bruising that he struggled to walk for several weeks.
Ooh.
Luckily, the floor manager was able to provide immediate and appropriate first aid, as she'd worked on Jim Will Fix It.
And you were doing so well.
You're doing so well.
Please, more stories about your front door, please.
Yeah.
Nick Burden. Or... adopts Muppet announcing voice. Ships in space. All a bit mad with Captain Gladys Emmanuel heaving bosoms all over the place. At least she didn't sing the Ballad of Last Chance Saloon of Lee John starring in anything. Enlightenment from Martin. Spaceship, get it? Yo, yo, ho, ho. Sorry, yo, ho, ho, and a rum old load of chewed scenery and panto hammery. As Eternals race around the solar system, crewed by ephemeral humans. I said it right then.
Hey.
Enlightenment turns out not to be a thing that can be claimed. Maybe one of these all knowing entities should tell the master. Russell Parker says, perfection.
Ooh.
Also, the first time we get a story both written and directed by a lady.
Yeah.
I adore this one. 83, fuck knows what sordid scoring you're going to think of.
Yeah, fair enough.
That's canon.
Clive and Kicking says, benightedness, as Mr. Darrow would say. Less than 10 years after blacking up in The Great McGonagall, Valentine Dial more appropriately portrays the Black Guardian. Immigration, house prices, lady die, and they give them money and house just for coming over. Sorry, wrong Guardian. Andy Partridge says, high camp on the high space sea.
Hey.
Linda Barron steals every scene she's in. Mariner is super creepy. And the story is just a bit fun. 75 out of 100, Turlough tossing himself off.
Oh, perfect. That's good. That's good one. Yeah, yeah.
Should say, actually, the guy who played Mariner, need to look into it, but great. He was great. Oh, I don't know what else he did.
Yeah.
Let's have a look. Have we got time? Hang on.
Yeah, we got 20 minutes. Okay. Andrew Mitchell says, I am Doran Lyman, one of my favourite Davison stories. The first episode is nicely mysterious with a decent cliffhanger. Lee John had no previous acting experience.
No.
Yeah, okay. I'll accept it makes itself apparent. I'd give it 85 Nurse Gladys Emanuels, though. That one has a cool premise. Bored gods. There's definitely frigging in the rigging between the races. Barron steals the show, but Turlough's suicide attempt still haunts me.
Oh,
yeah.
Fantastic story, 88 rum rations.
Ooh. Nice.
Pippa Mesgrave says, can you see Lee John's cock? I don't know.
What?
We don't know.
Well, I'm afraid we're in a studio. There's no windows.
So. I was going to say, from here? there we go.
That's
the
end
of correspondence.
Very good. You can also see Mariner in Sense and Sensibility, Remains of the Day, Dead Knight.
Oh.
He's been in Geese.
Star Wars.
Peak Practice, Poirot. He's done them all. Miami Vice.
What?
He's a good jobbing actor.
Yeah, yeah. He's done stuff.
The actor's name is?
The actor's name is Christopher Brown.
Christopher Brown, we salute you, sir.
We salute you, sir.
Yeah, damn good job, sir.
Everyone's brilliant on this. Linda Barron's amazing, but I really enjoyed your performance.
Yes. Yeah. So that's it. We've done 103 episodes.
Gosh. There's still so much more to do.
We couldn't. No one said that.
And they said we shouldn't. Yes. Everyone said that.
We're going to go to the pub and decide what to do next.
We are.
Mm. Oh. God, yes, my favourite bit.
Mm.
Pubs.
Wow. Yeah, pubs. thank you very much for sticking with us.
Thank you.
For the last, I think it's 4 years.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
Goodness me.
There'll be more Patreon stuff for our Patreon listeners.
Yeah.
We'll be back, of course,
good
some
nug
more
yesterday, didn't we?
Oh, we found some comedy gold.
Yeah. Very good.
Until next time, keep a wheezing and a groaning from me, John.
From me, Mr. Paul Allen Litchfield.
And me, Mr. Thomas Pedrick Neenan.
Goodbye.
Bye.
You have failed me for the last time. I'm going to go home.